It's just after 3. Another hour of Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
It is hour number 2 of the Murph and Andy Show. We've got sports and more until 4. It's Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs now with Trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, the Iowa Wild host Rockford tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. If you can't make it to the game, you can listen right here on KXNO.
Iowa Wild off to a slow start, but scoring. We've had slow starts that did involve some scoring, so people going to the games have still been entertained, but they need to get some wins, right? Put together a long.
Everybody likes it. I mean, you know, it really matters once hockey season really kind of gets going. It's still awfully early.
When do you feel like that?
When it
is?
Gets real cold outside.
All right, that'll be this weekend.
Trending Iowa, another intersection of high school football and racism occurred Friday night in the Ames locker room when the team returned from its road game against Dowling. A message saying F the N-word was written on a whiteboard the school is investigating. It's like the fourth or fifth thing that's high school football in Iowa intersecting with racism this year.
I don't get it. This really... It's really upsetting.
It's so disappointing. It's hard to imagine somebody doing that. I mean, high school kids do dumb things.
I did too. I can't imagine ever being in this mindset.
I didn't know anybody that did something like this. But
I'm sorry to hear that anybody had to see that. I'm sure that was upsetting. God, let me apologize for dumb people.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised, and I guess this is naive of me, but in the Register story about this that John Naughton wrote, he talked about how Ames is one of the most diverse high schools in
Absolutely.
The state, like 25%, you know, a lot of it from, you know, people who work at the university, that sort of thing. But yeah, like 25% of their 1,500 students are racial or ethnic minorities, so a very diverse school, which, you know, again, being naive, you think Ames, that's kind of, you know,
kind of the last place you see something
Iowa,
like
but,
that.
Yeah.
But this am I misunderstanding then that the target was Ames, that it's Ames that has to read this, so you would think it'd be done by an outsider, or we don't know?
We don't know, and they were on the road, so they returned to the school, so it wasn't like during the game, you know, the other school came in and did it. It was somebody from assuming somebody from within that community, but it was targeted at the football team, or at least at anybody who would see that in the locker room.
Yeah, you hate when like one knucklehead makes everyone else look bad. This is certainly that.
Finally, Trending Iowa. Des Moines schools are proposing new start times, which would have elementary schools start at 7:30, middle and high schools starting around 8:30, essentially flipping the current start times.
This is the second time this is going to go before the Des Moines School Board. You know, I was looking at the studies on this. The science is there, man. I mean, once kids hit puberty, they need more sleep. They do. And they don't get enough. They have a really hard time once they hit puberty. I don't really remember this happening to me, but I did start going to bed later. They say it's very hard to fall asleep before 11 o'clock.
Yeah, 100%, and we're dealing with this right now. We have a kid, because he has to be up at like 6:30, 6:15, he's 16. He works at Buffalo Wild Wings many nights till 10. So by the time he gets to bed, it is at least 11, and 7 hours sleep, seven and a half, is not enough. He's tired all the time. And then when he finally does have a chance to sleep in, he, you know, sleeps a ridiculous amount, and you can't really catch up that way.
Mm-hmm. But not healthy either.
Yeah, it's not healthy to do that. It's only, what is it, 1 hour? But yeah, these high school kids need more sleep. Yeah. They do need more sleep. But it would be tough for, I know it's tough for many parents.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
Joining us now on the Murph and Andy Show, it is the one, the only, Tommy Birch. Tommy, welcome.
It's good to be here.
He's a writer, if you don't know this, for the Des Moines Register. He's a multimedia star, I guess would be the word.
That's what I would use to describe it, star.
Yeah.
Fitting.
That's good.
Perfect.
That's good. Tommy is on the Cyclone football beat. What else are you doing this time of year? Cyclone football?
Well, yeah, usually this time of year I kind of like move on to some basketball stuff, start working on some basketball features. But right now, no matter what I write about Iowa State football, people read. I just wrote a story about the punter, and people are reading it.
Like, he is good.
He is. He's really good. But in the past, I could have written a story about the punter in week one, and nobody would have cared. And that's usually the time where, like, the first couple of weeks, everybody's pumped about football, and they'll read anything they can get their hands on. But usually when it comes to Iowa State football, by week, sometimes 3, 4,
that'd be an interesting story, really. I mean, go back to week sevens in past years, just recent past years, and see where we were at this time in the season with Iowa State football. Because, yeah, I mean, we've been doing this show for, I don't know, what, 8, 9 years now, and at this time we are dropping way off on Iowa State football and having a hard time really kind of getting a good drawn-out conversation on what's happening.
It's causing this year, it's an great inconvenience in my life. I'm having to work more.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Tommy Burch with us here in studio, and for being in studio, he will receive a $25 gift card to Jethro, so congratulations on scoring that, just for sitting in that seat and telling us some wisdom.
And I didn't give him one last week because you were... You were gone.
I'm not here. There's no prize. That's how that goes. Sorry about that.
Give them an extra.
Yeah, you do get a $25 gift card today. I want you to notice a difference when I'm in here. Tommy, Kyle Kemp, the quarterback for Iowa State. It Andy and I talked about this yesterday, and it seems it could be that we're so close to this we don't even realize how unlikely this story is. My dad and my mom last night, I was on the phone with them, and they wanted to talk about this. First thing they want to know is, if he hadn't played at all the first 2 or 3 years, why does this have to be his final year of eligibility? And I explained, you get 5 years once you start to play four. Explained all that to them. But they had so many questions. They're like, he's been to several schools and he didn't play. He's been a backup everywhere. How can he be this good? And when you take a step back, this is one of the more unlikely stories you could hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think I totally fully grasp the situation, because the story that I've been telling a lot of people is, I think it was last spring or last fall, they bring out all the every day they have a position day at Iowa State, and on quarterback day, they bring out Joel Wanning, they brought out Jacob Park, and we did those stories. And during the spring and fall, you're writing about anything and everything because that excitement level is there. And I looked at Kyle Kemp's bio, and I remember I was like, he's kind of had a crazy journey. I'm going to write about him too. And, you know, I remember the story was pretty much like, if something happens to Joel Wanning, and then something happens to Jacob Park, and then maybe, God knows, there's got to be somebody else before Kyle Kemp, then maybe this guy plays. And I write this story telling the story about his crazy journey. And I remember a lot of the other reporters, when Kemp started talking, he just kind of walked away.
I would have. Yeah. I would have peeled off.
And I, you know, I wrote the story, posted it, and I remember thinking, that's done. I'm never going to talk to Kyle Kemp ever again. And then when he comes out, to me, there were two big surprises. One, that Kyle Kemp was the starting quarterback and played so well. Those are the two surprises. Everybody kind of assumed, when this stuff went down with Jacob Park, a lot of people assumed Zeb Nolan was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
That he's
second string.
Yeah.
He's got more physical gifts.
Yeah. He's the prize prospect, the redshirt freshman that everybody was pumped about. Everybody had seen Kyle Kemp as this journeyman quarterback, kind of thinking, he's been to so many spots. He hasn't played at all. There's a reason why he's been everywhere and hasn't played. And we shouldn't get excited about him. And now he has gone from this unknown guy to, anytime he's in Ames for the rest of his life, somebody ought to buy that kid his dinner.
He's a soft-spoken guy.
Extremely.
And I had somebody mention to me the other day, and it's making me laugh now just thinking about it, but they said, he's a soft-spoken guy. maybe he just never spoke up and said he wanted to play.
He wanted to play. You know, it's just insane.
Well,
to
nobody
see.
Asked me. Why didn't you play quarterback sooner? Well, nobody asked.
It's insane to see the journey because, you know, for a lot of kids, we always write, wow, everything worked out perfectly for this kid to have this situation. It seemed like throughout Kyle Kemp's journey, everything worked out against him. You know, he had originally committed to Cincinnati. They have a coaching change. The scholarship isn't honored. He's having to scramble.
He loses the scholarship.
Yeah, and just then he ends up going to Oregon State, and they go through coaching changes. And then he goes to Hutchinson Community College, and that's not the situation he thought he was getting into. Then he was actually going to go to Toledo and follow Campbell there. And then Campbell comes to Iowa State. I mean, the way his story kind of was working out is what you half expected was Kyle Kemp was going to go to Toledo and Matt Campbell was going to come to Iowa State and he would have gotten left in the dust there. That's just how his journey kind of seemed to have been playing out. And then got this opportunity and has taken full advantage of it.
Yeah, it ends up being just that hometown connection that he had made quite a few years ago that ends up paying off for him.
I talked to his high school football coach, and he, you know, a few weeks ago for a story I'd done on Kyle, and he said, this is the perfect story that he uses to tell his team about perseverance, about working hard and never giving up.
Keep showing up.
It would have been so easy for Kyle to give up. I think a lot of people would have said, you should give up. Remember his dad telling me so many times, when I had interviewed him, he had talked to Kyle so many times, like, are you sure you want to keep doing this? Is this really what you want to do? And Kyle just kept saying, yeah. And his dad said, Kyle would have been totally content with the idea that he would have been the backup quarterback and never played because he put everything into it and gave it his legit best. And it, for a while, just wasn't working out for him.
It's a reminder, too, that there are more stories like this that we never hear the happy ending to, because if Jacob Park doesn't have his issues, we never hear this story just becomes a guy that played on the scout team and his teammates know him and you know him from your one interview, but nobody else knows his name.
And you kind of wonder, the question had kind of been posed to me during the offseason, who was going to be the backup quarterback when it came to Jacob Park? And my thought was, if anything happens to Jacob Park early in the season, I thought Kyle Kemp would be the backup, just because he's, a guy that's bounced around so much. He does have a little bit of game experience, but I thought if it's deep into the season and Zeb Nolan's gotten some more playing time, it's probably Zeb Nolan's the guy. Now, I don't know if that ends up being the case, if it would have been 8-9 games into the season, but I'm guessing it would have been a little bit more difficult of a decision than it actually was, because Zeb was coming back from his torn ACL. You had the experience of Kyle Kemp. It was an easy choice. There was almost no one else to really go to.
Well, he's unflappable, and you got to give Campbell and Tom Manning, a lot of credit for instinctively feeling like Kemp had the kind of unflappable poise that would serve him well in front of 90,000 people at Oklahoma. That's a tough place to make your first start. As I hear you talking about that interview, Tommy, it really makes me think of a near equivalency here, that Kyle Kemp really in many ways is the Adam Emenecker of football.
Yeah, right.
Nobody talked to him on Media Day.
Media Day, no one talked to Adam Emenecker. He was the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year.
It's
even, if anything, more unlikely than that. But this is still a guy not on scholarship.
Yeah, and I mean, there are so many different dynamics to it where you talk about what he's been through, the fact that he's a walk-on. But then he got his opportunity and seized it. I think so many of us thought he's going to get his one start and maybe get a couple of starts, and then Jacob Park comes back. Or if it doesn't work out, then you find out what you have with Zeb Nolan. He really had to take advantage of this opportunity because you never knew how long it was going to work out. I remember after the Kansas game asking him, like, do you feel like you've got to go out every week and, you know, have an A-plus type performance, knowing Jacob Park could be waiting in the wings, or knowing that, you know, somebody else deserves, you know, could get another shot sometime. And he's just like, you know, no, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. It's
Joe,
no big deal.
You have a question for Tommy Burch?
I'd like your opinion on this, and I'll hang up and listen to it. But my theory is that they started Kemp thinking, we're going on the road to Oklahoma. We don't want to get Zeb off to a bad start. We'll hold him for game four if Kemp doesn't perform well. We'll be home. We'll be playing Kansas. It'll be a more of a confidence booster for him, and it won't destroy his confidence going into Oklahoma and maybe having Oklahoma destroy them. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Thank you, Joe. I don't think Campbell went to Oklahoma thinking we're going to lose, but I do think that Joe has...
I don't think that sounds outrageous at all.
I think his theory, though, of not getting Zeb Nolan's confidence crushed is a good one.
Yeah, I think there is something to that, but I think in the grand scheme of things, what outweighed everything was the fact that Zeb Nolan had missed all last season with that torn ACL and was still... You know, that even though he was going to redshirt that season, that's valuable time he missed learning, developing, practicing, stuff like that, where he was really behind the eight ball. But, yeah, you don't want to throw Zeb Nolan into the deep end in that situation. But no matter what, Kyle Kemp was just better equipped to handle that situation. You talk to those coaches. Even John Haycock, the defensive coordinator, said last night, Michael Admire was asking him about it, and Haycock said, I knew if Kyle Kemp got his opportunity, he was going to take advantage of it. Something along those lines where he said, I knew Kyle Kemp was going to get an opportunity. So at least, at the very least, Kyle Kemp had been doing something in practice that made them feel confident that he could handle to a certain degree that type of situation. I don't think anyone realized he was going to be able to handle it as well as he is, or maybe he would have been the starting quarterback from the start.
Andy, no one's even asking if Jacob Park's coming back anymore. I don't get that question anymore.
Yeah, it's. I was just thinking as Tommy was talking there, it's really hard, and this was not very long ago, but it's really hard to bring your mind back to where we all were that night. That, what was it, a Friday night, we found out, Andrew, you and I were at my house, we found out that Jacob Park wasn't even on the trip and that he had been out all week, right? The revelations are just coming to light, Tommy, you're reporting on this. But, I mean, at that point, I think there were a lot of people that were just like, well, kiss this season goodbye, right? I mean, really, and it's hard to remember. That was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that
but we were really in a different place.
I mean, you were talking about, man, Iowa State's kind of hit rock bottom at this season because they were coming off the loss to Texas. I mean, that was incredibly deflating. I think after they lost to Iowa and Texas, everybody thought, well, Iowa State's not going to a bowl game this year after all. And then you have this stuff with Park. You're like, wow, they're kind of struggling.
What was
on the
line going into Oklahoma? Was it 30?
It was
before
30
Park.
Plus.
Before Park,
it was 28 to start. It was 32 by kickoff.
Well, okay, but before the news of Park came out, it was 28.
Right around
okay,
there.
Okay, with Park, it's a 28-point line.
Yeah, after that Texas game. Yeah,
and so that, I mean, that tells you. I mean, when you find out that he's out, you're just like, well, goodbye season.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to a lot of Iowa State fans that day.
Just
and
like, yeah,
that
we're
night,
never going to catch a break.
You know, even with Jacob Park, a lot of Iowa State fans were going into that game just thinking like, oh, God, I just hope
coming
Iowa
off
State
that Texas
keeps,
game.
Just
yeah.
keeps it close. Just don't get embarrassed. Don't get hurt. Like, the actual thought of Iowa State winning that game, even with Jacob Park, was so far-fetched. And then
once that was over. We love having those situations in our lives, right, where you can look back at a time where you just way overreacted, you know, or where you were just way, way down and it turned out that it was all for no good reason.
Yeah.
You know, you love being able to point to this example. This will forever be one of the great examples for sports fans around here to point back to.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a reminder of why we love sports stories like this, ones you don't see coming at all. Tommy Burch from the Des Moines Register is in studio with us. Tommy, David Montgomery is Iowa State's best running back since?
Ooh, wow. I got to say Alexander, maybe.
I think he's better.
Yeah, I think
Grover,
he. Yeah,
Cleveland,
I think he
Alexander.
Is.
That's a long time.
I think he is better. But I mean, the first name that kind of popped into my mind was Chantrell Johnson before he got hurt. And most of that is just based off of the potential and promise that he had and then just couldn't live up to it. I mean, man, it's been a long, long time since Iowa State has had that running back that can do some special things.
It does a lot of special things.
I mean, he is playing so well that, I mean, you look at that offensive line, they do a good job with pass blocking. They, for the life of them, they cannot open up holes for David Montgomery. And it's irrelevant because
yards after tackle are crazy for him.
He makes his own holes the way he can, you know, slash and dash. And then with the speed he has, and then he can just plow over defenders too. So it's, you know, it's a great season that he's having right now. And it makes you wonder how special of a season he could have once he gets a really talented offensive line in there, which Iowa State is bound to have because they've got tons of young talent kind of rising up through the system right now.
How distracted are you when you're interviewing Jake Campos that you think, my God, he looks like Frosty the
Snowman? I pointed that out to Brooke and Jerry Ann a few weeks ago in the morning, and they can't unthink that every time.
I have stood next to Jake, and just the sheer size alone, it's incredible because if you take
he's
a picture...
like the iceberg that took out the Titanic.
You don't even see me in the picture. He's so big.
His microphone straight up over your head.
Yeah.
Tommy Burch, in our final minute here, just how good is TCU? How does TCU compare to Oklahoma? And what does Iowa State need to do to win this game?
They're really good. They're probably not as well-rounded on offense, but they're considerably better on defense. It's night and day. I mean, this is going to be like a Texas-type team on defense. Iowa State's got to find a way to get the running game going because it's like I've said this before. I don't think they can rely on Kyle Kemp's arm for an entire game. They can lean on him at times, but they can't count on him to do the things that they hoped Jacob Park would do. So if they can get the running game going and get some turnovers, I mean, they've got to avoid what they've been doing through this whole winning streak right now. They can't turn the ball over. They can't get stupid penalties and just play some sound football, and they're going to be fine. They're going to be in that game at the very least.
Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. You can follow his work all over. You're everywhere, right? You're on the website. You're on digital. You're on Twitter.
He's on the internet.
Are you on Instagram? Are you everywhere?
I'm on Instagram, Periscope. I'm at Good Sons.
That's probably the best place to follow.
Available for live conversation. He's face to face. That's the all new medium.
Yeah, right. Instagram would be good. I need to pick up some followers then.
Yeah, help Tommy out there. Tommy Burch on Instagram. We're back with the play of the day and Mr. Movie.
1460 KXNO.
Well, let me tell you what I love the most about shaving.
I share the blades with your wife.
I share the good stories, right. I love having just a nice set of fantastic, clean, new razor blades, sharp razor blades at my disposal at all times. They come to me in the internet, and I can just grab a new Harry's whenever I need it.
Yeah, I enjoy it, too. I enjoy them being sent straight to the house. Makes it so much easier.
Well, Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched so far.
Great news. Harry's is so confident you'll love the blades. They're giving you a set for free. You just cover shipping. That's it. The trial set includes the ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip, and the all-important trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. We've partnered with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Just head over to harrys.com/KXNO to get it now.
Again, Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right? Just cover the shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer, fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now and enter the code KXNO at checkout to get some post-shave balm, also free. That's harrys.com/KXNO. Then at checkout, enter in KXNO.
It's time for the play of the day.
Here's a 1-2. He stays put. And a fly ball to left field. It's deep. Back at the wall. And it's gone! A 2-run home run! Marwin Gonzalez runs out of room. Turner runs around. bases, and the Dodgers take a 3-1 lead.
World Series Game 1 to the Dodgers, and it is time for Mr. Movie.
And now, Murph and Andy go to the movies with Mr. Movie Mike Woody. Powered by the team at P&P Small Engines. Get current and past reviews at MrMovieReviews.com.
P&P Small Engine probably running a deal of the week in honor of the Dodgers.
You know what I try? Yeah, exactly. I tried to get him to, you know, let's go to blowers. Let's talk blowers. And he says, I am selling mowers every single day. Just keep pushing the mowers. Clear out the showroom, man.
That's fine. Hey, he's happy. We're happy.
He knows what he's doing. Not me.
All right, a challenge today. And as anybody who follows the show closely knows that I do not remember details well, like my partner here, Andy Fales, who can remember the name of every kid in his second grade class and which seat they sat in. Wow. I have trouble remembering the people in my family. Andy remembers details, but we're trying today with the hashtag Mr. Movie on Twitter at Murph underscore Andy. We're trying to have you recommend a movie that you don't think a lot of people have seen that you think is good and that you haven't recommended on this show before. So I'm going to pick something lighthearted and fun, one of those movies. This is always a great experience for those of us who love movies. You want to see a movie, you go to the theater, there's really nothing that you're dying to see, nothing that looks good, and then you see something, and it's a pleasant surprise, and you thought, oh, that was kind of fun. And for me, this was such a movie. Michael Richards was one of the stars of it, and it's called Trial and Error.
How could you do that? Well, what was I supposed to do? You were passed out on the floor?
You said you were me.
It was just one lie.
Do you know what this means? Do you know what you've done?
You were lying there, man. I was trying to cover your ass. Why don't you just go and explain?
What? Explain what? That I was in a bar fight and that you represented a client of the firm's in a court of law? That's a felony, Richard.
What? Can we get some water here?
That is Michael Richards and Jeff Daniels. If you haven't seen the movie, and most of you probably haven't, Jeff Daniels is an attorney and Michael Richards is an actor, and they change places. Michael Richards goes and represents him in court. Or, I mean, he goes and pretends that he's an attorney and uses his acting skills. And I think, Mr. Movie, isn't this Charlize Theron's debut in this movie?
I've never seen the movie.
Never seen Trial and Error.
I don't think I have either. I might have. It doesn't ring a bell, though.
It is a Doc Hollywood, My Cousin Vinny type movie.
Oh, okay.
It's got laughs, but it's very charming. And it ends up just making you feel good. Trial and Error. That's my recommendation. And I think the first time I've mentioned it.
This movie, I have no idea how I stumbled across this back in the day, but it is a Blake Edwards movie starring John Ritter. It's really funny. It's an 80s movie. It's really, really funny. The movie is called Skin Deep. It's some funny physical humor with John Ritter, who's really underrated as a comedian.
Is this the condom scene movie?
Yeah, it has an unforgettable glow-in-the-dark condom scene. And it's a really good movie. It's got the best telling of the frog and the scorpion story by John Ritter's shrink.
Halfway across the river, the scorpion stung the frog. And as the frog was drowning, he said to the scorpion, "But now you'll drown too." And the scorpion said, "Yes, I know." "But that's not reasonable," said the frog. And the scorpion replied, "Reason has nothing to do with it. I'm a scorpion. It's my character."
"You know what I feel like telling you?"
"Yes. You feel like telling me to go f*** myself. And you probably will, because that's your character."
That's one of my favorite stories, the parable of scorpion and the frog.
It's a it absolutely applies to John Ritter's character in the movie. He's an alcoholic and a sex addict, and his whole world, super talented and rich, but his whole world comes crashing down, but he builds it back up again. It's got a great ending to it. You have to see it.
Blake Edwards did some great movies. I'm going to have to look back at Blake Edwards movies because there was some great movies.
Victor Panther, right?
Panthers.
S.O.B.
S.O.B., yeah. There was some.
S.O.B.
And by the way, one of my friends just said...
Blind Date. That's a pretty funny movie, too. Yeah,
Bruce Willis. Yeah. One of my friends just texted me, absolutely fell in love with Charlize Theron in Trial and Error. So Memory does serve correct there.
Well, she I've fallen in love with her, just not in that movie.
Believe that was her debut, and yeah, she's pretty fetching in that movie. Mr. Movie?
All right. This is a struggle. It was going to be a foreign film no matter what.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And Get your buzzer ready, AD.
And I think you might have seen this, and the reason I went with this one is because Denise at the Varsity is bringing it back this week. This was her dad's favorite movie of all time. Okay. It's about a small boy who grew up in a little village. I believe it's Italy. And he would always go up and he would sit with the guy running the projector. And then he becomes a filmmaker and he's looking back on his life and what he learned from this man. It's called Cinema Paradiso.
Ce lo facciamo vedere il film a queste povere pazze.
Magari. Ma come? Si può fare?
Vedo che voi non volete credere alle mie parole, ma ai vostri occhi dovrete credere. E ora alza le chiappe da quel dannato sgabello.
Audio drop without subtitles.
Did I mention it has subtitles?
Andrew, I hope you didn't waste too much time finding that the right bite.
That's like the pivotal part of the movie.
Jenny works with someone who speaks fluent Italian, and hopefully they're listening to the show today because that would be a nice moment for them. Okay, you had me at Varsity. You know, you disarm me when you say the Varsity is going to show it. There you go.
This is a movie about. For people that love movies.
Yeah, I have seen this. It's been a long time.
You know, it's 1988. I didn't have kids. I was 30 years old.
It is a wonderful story for movie lovers.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and see it again this weekend.
AD, I'll bet you didn't pick a foreign language film. You probably picked something like Sausage Party.
No, I did not pick Sausage Party, although I saw one of our Twitter users did. That's a terrible movie. No, I stumbled upon this movie not having read the books, really knowing nothing about the Douglas Adams books, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I've since gone back and read those, but I stumbled upon this because of the cast. Mos Def, who's like my favorite rapper of all time, is in this, and he's fantastic. Martin Freeman, who plays the Hobbit, he's in the British Office. Sam Rockwell, there's a really good cast. It's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Earthman, you must realize that the planet you lived on was commissioned, paid for, and run by mice.
When you say mice, do you mean the little furry white creatures with whiskers, ears, cheese?
Yeah, but they're merely protrusions into our dimension of hyper-intelligent pan-dimensional beings. But they were there on Earth as mice, experimenting on you.
Oh, I see where you become confused now. You see, we were experimenting on them.
Ah, no. Well, yeah, no. I gather that's what they wanted you to think, but you were actually elements in their computer program.
I haven't seen that.
You should. It's very good. I like it.
It's really good if you want to do, you know, maybe a hit of acid before.
It sounded like that. Yeah. It sounded like. Quickly from our listener, Scott said he loved Trial and Error. Brian writes that Samuel Jackson in 187. Jamie says a Caveman's Valentine.
I haven't seen that.
Ooh.
Pete says Love Song for Bobby Long with John Travolta. Ted with Pool Hall Junkies. Yeah, I haven't seen many of these.
Yeah.
Chad does go with Sausage Party. Which I haven't seen. Jay with Boondock Saints. That was Biff Hammer's favorite movie. David with Ride with the Devil. Booze with a quick change recommendation. That is a good movie. And Rob Luther says Frailty. So thank you to some of the many people who wrote suggestions out there. All right, let's get to the reviews of movies in theaters with Mike Woody, Mr. Movie. I'm going to see Only the Brave tomorrow night, and this is a true story of firefighters. Four guys who go in
Prescott, Arizona.
Try to control, like very much out of the headlines today, right?
Exactly what's going on in California, but they're in Arizona.
Josh Brolin is the star of this, but it's got Miles Teller and the guy who plays Riggins in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, it's
among
got
others.
A really good cast. Jennifer Connelly is in it, and she is awesome.
Is Jenny going
with you?
No, she said that she thought that there might be some sadness to this. So she's
some sadness.
So she does not want to see this, but I want you to tell me it's good because I think it looks great.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's better than good. It is one of the top movies I've seen this year. It is emotional. It is powerful. The acting is... Josh Brolin will never be this good again. Hmm. He is perfectly cast as this leader of this group of men, and he's got plenty of skeletons in his closet, and he brings Miles Teller's character in because he's got some issues too, so he's kind of mentoring him.
And it's not Disney-fied, right? These men have, it looks like in the preview, these are flawed men.
These are flawed men.
Some of them.
But they're men. They're it's just like a bunch of guys who are just poking fun at each other and just having a great time. And then the fire switches and it becomes time, game time.
Jeff Bridges is in this too, right?
Jeff Bridges is in it. Yep. Okay. And I would just maybe sneak a Kleenex in your pocket because it's really emotional.
Well, what's the grade?
It is an A.
An A for Only the Brave.
It may be top five of the year.
Only the Brave. Wow, that's a good review. Mark Felt is the man who brought down the White House. This is the Deep Throat story.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's like the biggest secret, at least in my lifetime. You know, who was Deep Throat? You know, who was you know,
there
telling on Nixon.
Source, right? Yeah.
And
people thought it was Diane Sawyer for years.
I mean, it was, and nobody could figure it out. And if this tells what happened with Watergate and the break-in and all of the cover-up from the inside. And then I think it shortchanges the ending because, you know, he retires and he's a very stoic character. So it's kind of hard to get into his character because he's so stoic. He's the G-man's G-man and the FBI is everything. And nobody can touch the FBI. The White House can't touch the FBI. And, of course, Nixon's guys are all over it. And that's just made him madder and madder, which is what sent him to Woodward and Bernstein. But then at the end, you don't see how he kept this secret for another, you know, however many years, the majority of my adult life. And then finally, you know, Vanity Fair gets an article with him and boom, he says it was me. Neeson does a good job, but again, the character's very hard to like just because that's the way he is. Diane Lane is in there as his wife, and she's essentially a drunk and at least supportive as
Do you want to like him, though?
I think you want to like him, yeah, because he's the one that says, you know...
Yeah, he's standing up for what's right. Yeah,
and, you know, Nixon's people are trying to cover everything up, and he's like, no, we will investigate, and we will find out what happens, and we will tell people. And of course, he wasn't allowed to do that. But it's a good movie. If you're a history buff, I think you'll like it. It's not a great movie, and I think that's because the character was so hard to get into.
Yeah, so it makes it true to life, but not as entertaining.
Right.
So,
it's still a good solid B.
All right.
If you're a history buff,
probably makes you want to watch All the President's Men again, doesn't it?
It does.
That's a great.
You know,
movie.
I always want to watch that anyway.
Okay, so a B for that. Yep. By the way, Brad, thank you. Brad writes that Charlize Theron's debut was That Thing You Do, which is another wonderful movie if you haven't seen that Tom Hanks directed. That's a really fun movie.
With his son.
Home Video, War for the Planet of the Apes. This was the one that got the best reviews.
Yeah, I mean, the first Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg, that was okay. I was never able to get back on the wagon after that.
You know, this is the third of the trilogy, and I think they may have gone one too many. It's Woody Harrelson basically playing, you know, the Marlon Brando character from Apocalypse Now, Colonel Kurtz, and it didn't work for me. It went too far.
An Inconvenient Sequel. This is Al Gore.
This is the sequel to The Inconvenient Truth, which was 2006. Basically, him arguing climate change. And people laughed at him and just made fun of him for years. And so he comes back in 2017 and says, you didn't think that Miami could flood. He shows video of
Miami
flooding.
Shows kind of point-by-point takedowns.
So he goes through.
Got some, was off on a few things, but...
Yeah, for the majority of them, he hit...
One more,
So it's very interesting.
You
it's
said not you like this, the, I think, when it was
Yeah, it's
theaters,
not as good as the first one, but it's still definitely worth seeing, especially with what Trump's doing now and pulling out of the Paris Accord and that stuff.
Also opening this weekend, Suburbicon with Matt Damon. Thank you for your service. Military PTSD movie with Miles Teller. Loving Vincent at the floor.
Loving Vincent looks really strange. It's Vincent Van Gogh. It's the story of his, but it's all done in like animated artwork that looks like Van Gogh's artwork.
Let's not ignore the big news of the week, and that's that they're making a sequel to Karate Kid with with Daniel and
they're making a fourth sequel to Karate Kid.
Cobra. Yeah. The name is the working title is Cobra Kai, and Johnny
and they get Johnny back in there.
Johnny is back in there.
Is Sensei? He's still around?
Sensei?
No, I think he's gone.
Is he dead? Pat Morita's dead, right?
Pat Morita's dead. Yeah. Sensei.
Oh, I don't know. Elizabeth Shue's still alive.
Yeah, she's just in a movie last week. Let's get
them back together.
Yeah, hopefully they're happy.
What about that mom that had that stick shift station wagon somehow?
And she was really loud, too. Went, Daniel!
All right, Daniel! Pop it!
Cobra Kai. All right, Eli writes, pick up a few tweets here. Eli writes, Only the Brave was directed by Marshalltown native Joseph Kosinski.
Oh, I didn't know he was from Marshalltown.
Mr. Movie has another nugget he can take from here just for his time. Floyd suggests Simon Birch. Carrie also suggests Simon Birch.
I would have done Simon Birch, but we've talked about that before. It's a great movie.
It's good, yeah.
Jeff says Clay Pigeons. I don't know that. Is that Vince Vaughn?
I want to say it's Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, okay. Deadhead 515 with Blood In, Blood Out. Jens with Garden State.
Yeah, that's a state's really good. Yeah,
Sean
good.
With Hot Fuzz. Michael with Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, which sounds like an Elton John album.
Does.
Scott with Moon. Sam Rockwell and Kevin Spacey. I don't think I saw that.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, there's some good suggestions on here. You can look up our Twitter account if you want to get more. Mr. Movie, good to see you. Thank you.
All right, good to see you guys.
Keep those mowers going there over at PNP. Back with the AD Squared and some morning sweat. Back on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. So Cobra Kai, Andy, is not a movie?
No, it's going to be a series that airs on YouTube Red sometime next year. 10 episodes.
I don't have YouTube Red, but I see Daniel and Johnny. And Johnny, the guy who played Johnny, man, he was such a great punk. Remember him in
Back to
School?
Yeah, he was great, and he was one of the best bad guys ever.
Get my towel, Melon.
William Zabka.
He was good at that. Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day, the AD Squared.
Yeah, and it's becoming a weekly feature here on this segment. Thank you to The Onion for producing their new sports talk radio show, Morning Sweat.
Drip, 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 you're listening to The Morning Sweat. And today we're talking about Bill Belichick's decision to miss the expected birth of his second demon spawn in order to coach Sunday's game against the Falcons. Now, as you all know, I am a very single man, but I can't imagine I'd choose to attend a football game instead of the hospital room to see my satanic offspring burst out of its dying mother. I know this is a big primetime game, but Bill, you only get one chance to hear your satanic seed's first piercing infernal shrieks as it latches onto the ceiling and spits acidic mucus in all directions. Sure, you'll always have the hospital security footage of your little demon breaking loose and disemboweling everyone in its path, but that's just not the same. All I'm saying is that one day you're going to have to look into your spawn's glowing yellow eyes and explain why you weren't there when it spread its wings and flew off into the night sky with the decapitated head of your OBGYN. All right, coming up, is it time for the Chargers to get a dog?
Jeez, the morning sweat. I like the beginning of that. Can you play the beginning again? Because it sounds like something that would actually be on ESPN right now. It's something like, drip, drip, it's time for the morning sweat.
Drip, 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 you're listening to the morning sweat. And today we're talking...
That does sound like something you'd hear.
One of the headlines on The Onion the other day read, slice of pizza only has one piece of pepperoni.
I saw one. I think one of you retweeted it today. It was like knife relegated to a week under the cellophane in the brownie pan.
My favorite of the week was Penn State put back on probation after everybody remembered how awful everything that was that happened there. Not saying it right, but just a reminder of, it's suddenly that's all forgotten.
Yeah, it's all good again because they're good at football.
Quickie poll results, WCI pools and spas.
We have a couple of quickie polls today. We had a bonus poll today.
That was the dumb one.
In observation of hump day, what is the second best pickle?
Eggs.
No, jalapenos is your leader right now, 46%. 26% did pick eggs. That's a strong number two, which I guess makes it number three. Green beans at 19%. Only 9% like pickled beets.
I'm a big pickled beets fan. I don't like beets unless they're pickled.
I like them always. As long as they're cooked, I like them. But man, beets just get crapped on, don't
they? Who's more surprised by their season?
Iowa State's fans are. 79%. I suppose that's pretty easy. I mean, I think Iowa fans are more disappointed than they thought they would be.
Yeah, I
maybe
don't think
it's shocked, though.
Yeah, this isn't far from expectations, but there was reason, especially early in the season, to think, oh, this team may get it going and be in better position.
But for Iowa State to have 5 wins right now,
yep,
at this point in the season.
And lost.
That is an amazing feeling for Cyclone fans.
5 wins and lost a home game in overtime.
But 5 wins and a chance to add to them at this point of the season with this many games left.
I know.
That's great.
They might as well be called bowl eligible right now, because at 5 wins, they would likely
nobody
get
ever really comes out
somewhere
and does say that, right?
I know. Please don't say it, because just win more games. No one wants to deal with a 5-win bowl game. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, and time to check the Royal Mile inbox, murphandandy@kxno.com. And John writes, I just found out a local bank in Winterset bought tickets for the high school football coaches and their families to the Iowa State game. Sounds like the Jack will be packed. Go Clones. Yeah, Jamie Pollard said yesterday that tickets were up to about 55,000, mm-hmm, which will show up just fine. It will show up just fine on television. We heard the most popular answer for the reason.
Farming. Yeah, it wasn't even close. We did. We got a couple of tweets, emails today from different farmers saying that they would be in the field, but they had season tickets and they were giving them to other people, friends,
mm-hmm,
so that those seats wouldn't be empty.
And by the way, story suggestion from yesterday. Somebody at Channel 13 is doing the story on the farmer listening to the game.
Going to the tractor.
In the tractor.
I can't wait to see it.
All right. Sports Fanatics next.